What the fuck's happening, people? Welcome to the Gender Blender podcast on today that is the 23rd of October. I'm telling you lies. It's actually the 22nd of October and I'm recording this at night time just to get it motherfucking, just to get it done, bro. You know what I mean? Get it out on time since all the other weeks, you know, I fucked that up, managed to fuck it up. You know, we're all over the place. Last week's been nuts, been gigging around. So here we are, recording it early, just for you, sexy bitches. I'm dressed like a Polish fucking trance DJ. But sure, what can you do? First of all, I got to plug gigs. We have the Limelight this Friday. The Saturday show sold out. If you're looking for tickets for the Saturday one and you can't make the Friday one, keep an eye out just in case they release some on the morning of Saturday, basically, and you can buy them in the daytime. I'll check out with them and see if that's a possibility. But yeah, there's still remaining tickets for the Friday gig, which is at the Limelight, the Trans Blender show. It's going to be fucking crazy if any of the other shows are to go by. I did some smaller gigs. I did London, and I think that went very well. I did Glasgow. That was fucking crazy. And then I did Derry, which was over twice the size of those other gigs I was just talking about. And once it warmed that show up and I was like, fucking right, let's do this shit, and did it in front of a bigger crowd, I was like, oh, this is good. And these shows this Friday and Saturday are gonna be even bigger. They're gonna be fucking twice what Derry was. So get yourself one of the remaining tickets for the Friday. It's gonna be off the bloody hook, isn't it? Anyway, ColinGettis.com for all the gig tickets. We've got Manchester, okay? We're hoping to secure the day. The Manchester's on the 25th of November, basically. We're trying to secure Liverpool at the Hot Water Comedy Club the day before that. They're just a nightmare to hear from. Like, if you think I'm bad at answering fucking messages, these guys are a nightmare. But so that's hopefully the 24th, 25th, and then we've got a gig penciled for the 20th of November in Dublin. So yeah, and then of course like 14th and 15th of December we have Newcastle, County Down, and then we also have Lola's in Omagh. So that's class. Big shout out to all the people who have been continuing to sign up to Patreon. You know, big shout out to all those people who signed up and just stayed there. Because I think a lot of people maybe signed up and were like, well, maybe I thought this was a one-off type thing, but and didn't realize that it came out every bastard month. Which is fair enough, you know, if you wanted to make a one-off contribution, that's amazing. I can't believe anybody listens to this podcast, let alone, you know, sometimes fucking relies on it. Sometimes they really want to hear it. But yeah, if you want to donate to the podcast, it's just, I mean, it's one of those things. It's in an experimental stage with everybody who has a Patreon. It's kind of like, you know, you're putting out product for free and people listen to it two, 3 hours. I haven't put this jacket on. I am fucking sweating. You know, they listen to like an hour, 2 hours of you a week, which you're doing for free. And they just sort of feel like, you know, if I could contribute to this or if I could pay for this, I would. And, you know, if you look at Netflix, you know, it's relatively cheap for what you're getting. You know, scale it down to what you're getting for this shit. You know, the comparison is always, if you met me out somewhere, would you buy me a coffee once a month? That's the way people... Now, it depends where you buy it, because there's some places you go into and they're like, that's $3.10. And you go, nah, did you drive home and make it and bring it back to me? Are you charging me petrol money for this fucking coffee? You know, but now I'm talking like a standard... You're a Nero. Would you buy me a coffee? That's the way it goes. And I'll give you fucking 2 hours plus content a week. You know, it has freed me up to do other shit. You know, I wasn't able to sit down and record a full podcast, a second podcast last week. I apologize for that. I don't have as much shit on this week as with regards to shows, so I'll get another one out. What I did do last week though was I was freed up to make vlogs. So if the content doesn't come in one form, it'll pop out in another form. So I put out 3 vlogs last week. Didn't get sitting down in the office like I normally do for the podcast, but I'm out and about and I made you some extra content there. So enjoy that. You know, did you ask me for it? No, but you got it. You fucking got it, didn't you? Ah, listen to this intro. Gentle Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis. Right about now, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul. Colin Jettis. It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. Yeah, that sometimes I think that intro's way too fucking long. Just updated the old Apple fucking, whatchamacallit there? iOS? Or OS? Is it operating system? iOS? What's iOS? I don't know. Got the new operating system and you can choose to have dark or light sort of theme on it. And I went for dark and oh my god. It looks wild sexy on the computer, I must say. It's got the wee sexy black background and shit. I don't know when the last time I did a fucking podcast was. If it was last Tuesday, then I hadn't yet been to the Muay Thai class with Mickey. Mickey, there is a vlog up about that, actually, if you want to check that out. Mickey said he wanted to do a Muay Thai class on this very podcast. And I said, you know what? I can fucking make that happen. Put your money where your mouth is. And sure enough, we went down to Bangor with our boy Phil there. Shout out to Phil, Predator Muay Thai. And just flopped about, two assholes hitting the fucking pad, hitting the pads, you know, kicking pads with your bare feet and realizing that your feet are soft as shit and being like, this hurts my feet. And I think what happened was, you know, we put the vlog up and everyone was like pleasantly surprised. They were like, I thought this was going to look like two walruses fucking, but instead, these two are clearly trained in martial arts, you know what I mean? Throwing kicks, throwing punches. Like two goddamn savages. And even Mickey, Mr. I Can't Walk Up Steps, all of a sudden can throw spinning back kicks and fucking all sorts of shit. You know? But he does skip a lot, so his footwork's amazing. If his footwork could meet the cardio of a regular person, he would be... Yeah, he'd be a regular person, is what he would be. Haven't heard from him in a week, though, so... I don't know, he may well have went to the hospital and... I don't know, maybe he's getting into all sorts of Thai things. Thai massage. He's like, I've done Muay Thai, I need a Thai massage now. Get someone to work the knots of your cock out with their elbow. I would love a Thai massage. I mean, I was in Thailand and there was a lot of those massage places and you're like, I would love a fucking massage. Like, if you're legit gonna give me a massage, I'd love that. Instead of me walking past now, you know, you're walking past with Maureen, who's only my girlfriend at the time, of about 6 years, but still. And they're like, fucking, hey, you want a suck job? You want a bro job? You want a suck job, blow job, hand job, rim job? Butt sex, inner sex? And you're like, that's not a massage, really, is it? That's a mouth massage on your bulb. Suck job, rim job. Just right out in the open. You know what I mean? Why? This is what cracks me up. It's like, why even bother trying to lie about what your shop is? You know, if it's for tug jobs, just write that up front. Don't be like, it's massage. In fact, you know what? If you booked yourself in for a half hour massage or an hour massage, they're probably like, Jesus Christ, why can't you just have take two wanks like everybody else? Why have to do a full hour massage? Why can't I not just put your dick between my titties? And you just squat, go home after 3 minutes. Still, I have to fucking do a massage for a full hour. Were you gay or something? Now, what was that accent? I don't know. That was my vaguely Asian prostitute. Which actually sounds like an Asian male. Kind of a vaguely Asian prostitute with... fried rice and some vermicelli noodles. Hilarious. Jesus Christ, my Instagram is going buck mad. Someone's like, you need to learn to deadlift. Yeah, I put up a video of me deadlifting with fucking right I do. I only started doing it started this year. I don't know how to fucking deadlift. Just lifting it off the floor. But yeah, we've been doing a lot of vlogs recently, I mentioned that, knocking out vlogs, feeling like I'm hitting a bit of a stride with the vlogs, you know, after trying for years to not make Casey Neistat videos, which seems to be the way that everyone does it, you know, they watch a thing and they go, it'd be good to make vlogs. And I think I made vlogs at a time when I didn't even know what a vlog was. You know what I mean? I would just film backstage at a gig and then try and put it together and be like, what the fuck is this? Behind the scenes or something? So yeah, just trying to make the vlogs a bit better. But went to Glasgow last week. I have never, ever in my life been as tired in between Tuesday and like Sunday. I was fucking wrecked. Because here's what happened. We had Lavery's Comedy Club, which was amazing. We had Damo Clark headlining. He's an Australian dude from Dublin. Very, very funny. Talked a lot about having his new baby. And, you know, there was a particular bit where he was talking about people always asking the weight of your baby. And he's like, no one asks the weight of your baby if you adopt a baby, do you? Which is very funny. And then he also talked about things you could do if you had a good heavy baby, like prop the door open while you're bringing in your shopping. And I was pissing myself. Who else was on? We had Alan Irwin. He was on. He did well. Mickey came down. He emceed last minute. And I just did a nice spot there. But it was good crack night. The thing was, I got home at 1 o'clock and we had to go to Glasgow the next day. And I got up at fucking 4 o'clock because I read on the EasyJet app that the fucking, from our end, the goddamn airport road was closed. Now, I don't understand why they even, do you know what there should be on that road? There should be like a toll and you go, I'm going to the airport, and you put a pound in it then. And it just takes you on a separate road that goes straight to the fucking airport. That's what they should do. Because that fucking, I don't know what it is about, like, I'm pretty sure farmers go, I'll tell you what, I'll look up when the flights are leaving for EasyJet. And what I'll do is, an hour and a half before that, I'll set off in this tractor with a load of fucking bales in the back. And I'll drive at 21 mile an hour, holding up traffic the whole way. And even though the traffic was fucking diverted, because the road was closed. In fact, it was such a pain in the hole. It was like, you almost got right up there. You know, you got right up to the fucking airport. And then they were like, oh yeah, now it's closed. And you're like, but I can almost just see it up there. And they're like, no, you gotta go fucking 30 miles the other direction, if that's all right. So that's why we left at 4 o'clock. And I went to bed at 1. And I literally went like this, blink. And then opened my eyes again and went, oh, have to get up. And of course the flight gets into Glasgow, you know, at fucking 8:30 in the morning. And we can't check into anywhere till about 3. And then the gig's at fucking 7:30 or something. So I was just like, it was fucking grotesque. And then Begley went with me and he was driving. He's like, I'll pick you up. And even though I was absolutely exhausted, I nearly wish I'd have drove, because me squished into the front of his Polo. I was like, no, his Volkswagen Polo, not his asshole. I was like fucking hitting every surface of the inside of it. I was like, yeah, we should have took our car. And I would have fucking put 2 matchsticks in my eyes and drove us the whole way to the International. Which, I sometimes when I'm approaching it, feel like just driving the car straight through the fucking front of it. Killing as many people as possible. What a fucking shithole. Cannot abide it. Can't abide it. I do a bit about it in my set. And I cannot stand that shithole. But fair play to Begley, because he paid for a car park, which wasn't the Park and Fly, which is right in front of the fucking airport. He paid for the other thing. But what he did was he drove into the Park and Fly and went, yeah, this fucking thing won't read my registration. And the guy goes, no worries. Beeps him in. So we're in a car park that basically, you know, we haven't paid for. And I was like, now we're in, so we may as well park and fucking go on holiday for a day. But good luck getting out of this place. And anyway, we went to fucking leave the next day. When we got back, absolutely exhausted. And he was just like, my car won't get let out. And the guy went, no sweat. Dude, opened it up. And he's just like, all right, see ya. So which is a good trick. You know what I mean? You could turn up there with nothing. And go, this isn't reading my registration. And they go, oh, are you serious? And you go, yeah. And then they just let you in anyway. And then you just have to bluff your way out and be like, I lost the fucking page. Anyway, we got to Glasgow at 8:30 in the morning, went straight to Primark because we no longer have a Primark in Belfast, so you gotta just go and sample it. But went there.
Oh, fuck off.
Let me answer Aaron McCann since I have him here. Very quickly, when do yous leave? 18th. Arrive 8th or 9th on the phone with a real nice venue. Alright, fair enough. Ah, fuck, they only have 18th available. Oh, piss on the tits. Never mind. Oh well, there we go. There's our fucking gig in LA falling through. Hilarious. Now we'll get something sorted. So we're in Glasgow at 8:30 in the fucking morning. We'd eaten in the airport, which was a mistake, and then we went to Primark. We fucked about for a minute, and then we're like, what do we do right now? And then we went to the cinema to see the movie Venom, and I swear to God, if you put a gun to my head and said, I want you to tell me all the information, you know, I want you to leak the storyline of Venom online or I'm going to kill you, and you put a gun to my head, I'd be like, there's fucking, this black, the guy's got black stuff on his face. That's about as much as I would remember. Guy just walks along going, eat him. And I won't eat him.
Eat him.
And then he just eats a guy. What a load of shit. Now, I don't know much about fucking, you know, superhero type movies or whatever the fuck you would class those as. But I've heard a lot of people say the Venom character doesn't really make sense unless you have a Batman. Sorry, it probably doesn't make any sense if there's a Batman. If there's a Spider-Man. So, a nerd told me that. And I can see why it sort of makes sense, because it's kind of like, you know, at some stage this cunt's going to get infected by something, and you're like an hour and 15 minutes into the movie going, get it in your body already, for fuck's sake. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to stay awake in the back of this fucking thing. Like, anyway, managed to, you know, get through that shit, went for some Vietnamese food. In Glasgow. I'll be honest, I took a photo of it, put it on Instagram, and everyone was like, oh yeah, love that shit. And I was like, I've turned into that cunt. I've turned into that guy who went to Vietnam once. Not even properly. Stayed with our friend. Twice, actually. We went very quickly one time, and I didn't stop shitting the whole time. And then the second time we went, I just fucking, you know, we basically got taken on a guided tour by Sean, our man in Vietnam. Which is good, because he let us eat all the good food, and you know, we didn't have to do, oh, fuck off. Oh my God. Oh my God, Aaron. The funny thing is, this is a fairly important conversation he's trying to have with me right now. I wonder, should I FaceTime him? I wonder, should I try and FaceTime this asshole? Can I FaceTime you right now? Recording a podcast. Now, this cunt has just said it's in a Russian bar, which is hilarious. What a fucking big headed cunt. I wonder, can he FaceTime? Hopefully it doesn't interfere with the goddamn, with the signal. Anyway, I put up photos of that Vietnamese food, but I definitely have turned into some sort of snobby cunt now, because everyone was like, that looks amazing. And I was like, I'll tell you something, guys, it actually wasn't that authentic. And if we're getting real asshole-y about it, pho, I'm pretty sure, is the type of noodle. You know, what looks like the word pho when all you assholes, you know, go to Vietnam and you're like, can I have a bowl of pho, please? I like the beef pho. They didn't even use proper noodles, you know. I've had enough of it where I'm like, the noodles are supposed to be sort of flat but thin and small. These are big fat fucking noodles, and the broth looked the part, didn't really taste the part. Just didn't hit the mark, you know what I mean? I've made more pungent shit at home. Which is so fucking gappier to say, isn't it?
I don't think the pho broth is entirely authentic.
Someone should have went, Colin, you're in the west end of Glasgow, you stupid bitch. It's not going to be the same. You know, would you be like in fucking goddamn Hanoi somewhere down an alleyway at a wee stand going, this bloody haggis isn't quite hitting the spot today, I don't think, so it's not.
This is not authentic haggis. This is not what I would exactly call fucking neeps and tatties.
Right, I'm going to ring this cunt here. Ring in America. Answer the phone. Yeah, go ahead, ring, and then not answer. What a penis. There he is. Here, you're on a podcast now, right now?
Oh, shit. On the spot?
I couldn't be arsed stopping recording.
Fair dues.
What time of the day is it there? In the morning?
It is exactly 1:08.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck my ass. Tell me so the gig we're going to do isn't in that clubhouse place that we're going to do?
Well, the clubhouse, right, gave me a few dates, and I think most of them they're just all right in terms of, like, the time slots and stuff. They're like Edinburgh Fringe times. They're either, like, really early in the day or, like, bollocks late at night. So I contacted this venue called Bar Lubitsch, and it's basically a Russian bar.
Oh, cool. We're going to get the fucking kneecapped, are we? Huh? We're going to get our fucking heads filled with coke and sent back to the motherland.
But it's a really nice fucking bar, and they have, like, this back room that actually looks like a fringe venue type thing. It's, like, just a back room, and they have a stage, and then it fits about 80 to 100. But I rang the guy, and I did a show with them before, and he said that they have literally 2 to 3 shows on every day in November, but they do have they have 2 slots they could make work on the 15th of November, which would be 7:15 to 8:15 or 10:45 to basically whatever the fuck time they wanted.
Uh-huh.
What would you be more inclined to do? Well, first of all, I think this venue's better because of the fact that there's a bar there and because of the fact that, like, it's actually in the heart of Hollywood as well.
In the heart of Hollywood.
In the heart of Hollywood, by God.
Yeah, well, whatever you think. You know, you know the lay of the land a bit better than I do, obviously.
But I'm just wondering, like, later or early? Like, what would you rather do? Would you rather do 7:15 or would you rather do 10:45? So we start late, but we can bollocks around after, like, they'll basically let us fuck around after and, like, run on or whatever we want, basically.
Well, I think it would be definitely better crack to do a real hard and fast hour at, like, 11 at night. You could be done by 12, like, you know what I mean?
I think so too. So, the guy's gonna give it to us basically for nothing.
Great.
And just as long as we do a decent turnover at the bar. I did a wee flex there and said that you did a show at the Museum of Comedy, and it was the record for most booze sold, so he's a hard-on for that. So
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something else. I emailed, do you know the way we played Blackfriars last time? I did it again, and the guy, you obviously pay like £100 deposit just to hold the room.
Yeah.
But he goes, if you sell over £200 booze, you get the deposit back. And I was just sort of emailing him after, and I don't really give that much of a fuck about the deposit. Like, most places charge the deposit and just keep it. Yeah. But I was like, just out of curiosity, did we break the £200 mark? And I was like, because I probably spent about £200 myself on fucking pints. And he goes, I've literally never seen takings like it for a comedy gig in that venue. I'm going to start anytime I book a gig, I'll be like, yeah, I want 30% of your bar. The tables have turned. The tables have turned, bitch, you know what I'm saying? these aren't any ordinary crowds. These are fucking hellions, you know?
Fucking heathens and sash monkeys, soup dragons.
Are you in a... and various other... Are you in a room by yourself right now?
I'm in the office here.
What, in like work or so? Or in that shared house you live in?
In the shared house.
In the shared house. Good man, yourself. Is there any filth stories you want to tell on this podcast?
There's two other people in the office right now, so I can't really.
Why not? Are you not friendly with them? Fuck's sake. Aaron was talking to... I'm just talking to a camera right now, which is hilarious. Aaron was talking to me the other day, and he goes, I'm going to say this pure culture so that nobody else around me understands this. And then he just went, the fucking writing was top shelf, sir. Just a load of fucking...
That's true, though. Like, if I wanted to say something, I can get away with saying it, and nobody actually knows what it means.
You gypsy bastard.
I swear, I love it. In America, sometimes I'll just walk around, like, fucking Beverly Hills, shouting up the rah, just because I can.
People think you're, like, apart from you don't look like him, but Brad Pitt in Snatch. Or is that Lockstock? I can't remember. You like fucking dogs?
It's fucking hilarious. I forgot to tell you, I was down at the comedy store last Monday, and there was a fella came up to me after, and he saw me on the Kill Tony podcast, but he's the head owner of the Celtic Supporters Club for Los Angeles.
What are you talking about? That's where you do the gig? And you're taking...
He's American, like.
Yeah.
And he goes, like, I basically opened up the club and I support the Celtics, but I'm a Protestant.
The Celtics? Are you sure he didn't mean the Boston Celtics? No.
No, but I went on to, like, they sell trackies and all with LA Celtics Supporters Club on them.
Oh my god.
It's legit as it gets, like, up the hoops.
Up the hoops? Speaking of up the hoop, tell us some of your...
Let me show you this venue real quick.
Alright. Oh, so you're showing me via FaceTime a picture? Oh, that's a nice cocktail, mate.
This is the bar. This is the venue, but you can't really get... There's not... Well, that's the actual bar there. And then that's the wee smoking area outside. Is there any of the actual venue? Aye, so that's the venue there. It's like a little Edinburgh room, but it's like real low ceiling, fucking chairs are kind of spread out all over the place. Like, if we run that out, it'll be a fucking scorcher.
Great.
So I will ring this man back and say, we will take your 10:45 slot and...
You mad Russian bastard, yeah.
Hang on, 15th? What even fucking day is that? Hang on, get me Google Calendar here. What? How's the podcast going today?
It's going alright, mate. We're 29 minutes in right now.
What are you chatting about?
I was just talking about being in Glasgow and stuff like that. Is the guy that you deal with Russian as fuck? Have you to drop a few Nurmagomedovs on him? No?
No, I mean, it's just all this place is like Yanks taking other cultures and then making profit off them. He was American as fuck.
Was he?
15th of November, that's a Thursday night, by God.
Do rightly. Go to Thompson's after.
Do rightly, get her booked. I'll fucking turn the place into Thompson's.
Fucking put cat up your hole in the bugs.
But that actually will be better, though, because that place, the clubhouse is a good venue, but, like, it's an improv theatre space, like.
Yeah.
This is an actual bar that has a really decent back room, so I think it'll work far better. And then after, people can fuck around after, and, yeah, I think it'll be better crack.
Oxlade party
after. I swear to God, I think that might be a possibility because they usually have a DJ in the corner, but I might just say to the guy,
take a night off, kid.
Could we cut?
Take a night off, kid. We have a few appeals mixtapes here. Don't you worry about it.
dropping pure fire.
Here, I'm about to play hit the diff.
I swear to God, see if there's not a juvenile bear chained up in the corner for me to wrestle. I'm gonna fucking lose my shit.
Right, well, I'm gonna head on here and get this shite booked because he's only there for another 20 minutes.
No worries, no worries.
Alright, man.
Alright, see you in a bit. Put some trousers on. See you in a bit. Alright, man. There you go. Live and direct from Los Angeles, California. Arm account. Sorry if that was boring. That was kind of just... why I didn't answer that or call him via the laptop and we could have just heard full decent audio, I do not know. But what can you do? There he is. So there we go. We'll do a show in a fucking Russian bar in LA. That sounds like good crack. What's he like? Oh, he did a gig in the Museum of Comedy in London. Most booze sold. Yeah, and St. Paddy's Day when we had all the fucking London, Northern Ireland supporters club in. It was a fucking shit show. The guy just kept going, would you mind if we just waited for another 10 minutes? Because the bar is packed. And I was like, listen, fucking fill your boots, kid. Know what I mean? So yeah, the Glasgow gig was outrageous after we had our Vietnamese food and a fucking nap. Begley was getting wired right into the beers, so all the crowd piled in, and I said to him, there's no way we can have them sit here till, I guess it was like 25 to 8, doors half 7, show at half 8, and I was like, there's no way we can have people sit here for like fucking an hour, now that they're all seated, like, we may as well start early. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll do an announcement. He's like, right, lads, fucking gonna do a lock of, getting on a lock of drinks there because the fucking bars are gonna shut in a minute and we're gonna have, talking all this shit. And I was like, happy days. And then I said, right, we'll do another 2 minute warning or something like that because, you know, we'll probably start soon. He goes, I'll do another 2 minute warning. Goes up and then just goes, welcome to stage, come and get us. And I went, that's not a warning. That's just you fucking telling people I'm coming on. Not to fucking grab my beers and run on stage. And then he played House of Pain Jump Around, which like, is a good tune. That really gets the party started. But that's more of a get the party started tune. That's not so much a listen to this man talk for an hour solid, you know, right now. But planned on doing that gig and just kind of going back to the apartment where we rented and got talking to some people. Shout out to Paul McVeigh, who owns the Grip House there in Glasgow. The MMA, what's going on my throat, that noise? That MMA club over there, legendary. He told us how the name came about one time and I was like, the Grip House, it sounds aggressive. And then it turns out that it was the name of a building owned by the BBC where they kept all those fucking grip things. You know, grips and whatever. What a headline. Tinder profile of banger double rapist Brian Davey leaves victim's dad furious. That takes a serious fucking brass neck, doesn't it? Just out of jail for 2 rapes there, mate. Back, you know what I'm saying? It's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get back up. That's me back on Tinder, isn't it? I guarantee you, there's some girls into that, which is hilarious, but anyway. Twice a rapist. So anyway, I'd been to Lavery's at 1 o'clock in the morning, slept for 3 hours, went to Glasgow, spent the whole day fucking killing time, ate some Vietnamese food, went back to the flat, slept for about 45 minutes, went and did the show, thought I was going to go back, get some sleep. Ended up talking to people. Paul McVeigh went out for beers. He was going to Barcelona the next day. Could have easily just went, fuck you guys, I'm going home. And he hung out just fucking chatting, just being a genuinely cool guy, him as his buddies. Him, 2 black belts. And I'm like, these are the most unassuming black belts. You know, if someone's like, come on, knock the fuck out of these nerds, you know, and then you go to do something and you get your asshole fed to you. It's class, isn't it? Jiu-jitsu. It's just class. Anyway, up the next day, out of the place by fucking 10. And then just killing more bastard in time, over to the airport, got the flight, he drove home.
then I had to go on a hospital visit, and then I got back, and then when I absolutely should have went to bed, I was so relieved to just be home. Do you ever do that when you're like knackered and then you just get home and then you're just relieved that you can like fucking put your goddamn sweatpants on and just chill for a second, that you're like, oh, I'm just enjoying being home, and then I end up sitting with fucking Maureen and her dad and drinking beer at about 2 a.m. when I should have been in bed as soon as I got home. So needless to say, the Saturday I didn't fucking flinch. I did not flinch till 1:45, and I've never done that in my entire life. I've stayed up all night drinking on many of occasions. I've stayed up all night drinking or watching fights, whatever, and I still wake up, or you know, even about 11, definitely before 12. And on that Saturday, I was just like, fucking could not move. Like, literally didn't wake up and fall back asleep, only opened my eyes. Like, literally just went at 1:45. Which is ridiculous. And then ate some lunch, had another sleep. And do you know what? I was in my head, I was like, I'm going to definitely do a workout today. And I didn't, even though I had dairy that night. I was just like, I don't want to feel like I'm rushing anything today, which is so lazy and fat bastard. But I was just like, I'm not doing it today. And I just went and did the gig in Derry, which by the way was fucking tremendous. Oh, so goddamn good, because it was a big gig, you know what I mean? I've been doing those small gigs over the water just to fucking see how many people would come out. And they were sold out, they were small venues, but they were all like 100 or less, and this one was fucking 200-seater, sold out in Derry, and it was fucking amazing. So cheers to everyone who came out to that. Although the Nerve Centre are class, but it was literally like, I pulled up, I'm looking through the door, like, knock the door, and the guy's like, I walk around. And I'm like, everyone else walking around, let me in. I'm the fucking act here tonight. Let me walk through the door. Like, nah, walk through the restaurant thing. Walk through the restaurant. I was like, is there a backstage or something? He's like, ah, there is. I just look after the drinks. And I was like, uh-huh, okay. Can I go up there? Can I go up and aimlessly walk around to try and find a fucking quote-unquote green room? I do whatever you want. All right, see you. Cheers. And I went up. Anyway, Woodsy arrived. He did a set, killed it. I love it when the fucking support, the person you bring for support, kills it as well, because you know, what people would do is traditionally they would just bring some fucking gimp who basically goes out for a second, attempts to talk some sort of shit, and then you come on after them like a goddamn savior. Like, yeah, look how shit that dude was compared to me. A professional comedian. First of all, you want to be there. If someone's doing support for you, you want to be there with a mate. You know what I mean? You want someone there that you like, you actually like. And you want someone that's going to do a good job. You want someone to be funny, you know? You want to hype them up and be like, let them have a good time. And then people are like, oh, what a great night this is. We got to see two comedians. And then you go on and hopefully the first guy's, you know, broken them in a bit with the laughs. And then you get the fucking splatter all over it. Venue is booked. In the name of Putin. Aaron has booked 15th of November at 11 at night. Aaron has booked a fucking Russian nightclub. We are going to get killed, basically. I can't believe this. Although he said he's gigged there before. It was amazing. Oh, fuck. We were coming out of Derry and there was a load of police with this woman on the bridge. Like, I don't know what was going on, but that bridge in Derry is obviously notorious for people jumping off the fucking side of it, like. And there was a woman, like, very upset on her phone with a load of police around her. I don't know whether she was gonna jump or someone she knew had jumped in, or that she was looking for somebody, or what the fuck it was, but I don't know. It gave me the shits. I was just like, that's fucking, it's fucking terrifying. And especially like, not like a place like that, not that it's a trend, but it's like, it's a bit like the Cave Hill in Belfast. It's like, it just seems to be, and again, this term is disgusting, but like hotspot for suicides, you know, for people taking their own lives. It's just, it's like, oh, this is where I'm going to do it. This is what people do. They throw themselves off this bridge. where there's like a really shit current under it. Or, you know, yeah, that's what they do. You go up Cave Hill and you fucking hang yourself or something. You know what I mean? It's like fucking, it's so scary. Like, I know those like search and rescue teams and like those foil search and rescue ones are like, that's nearly what they do all fucking day, is just patrol that bit of river. But I don't know. I actually don't know what was going on, but do you know what I mean? You see things like that and you're like, oh Jesus, what the fuck's happening here? But I don't know. It's, I don't know. There was a lot of quiet sitting in the car on the way home. I was just like, oh, that is a rough night. Like, after the night I just had compared to what the fuck was going on there. I'm going to sneeze. We don't edit sneezes out around this, bitch. Keep it in. Keep that sneeze in. Oh my God. See, when I used to go to uni in Derry, there was a place called Romeo's, right? And I always used to go to it, and we used, you could get whatever. You can get takeaway pasta, which, you know, I never think about, but you could get, like, takeaway pasta dishes and pizzas, and they did kebabs. And I just always remember, if you got, like, a mixed kebab, they were, like, clean as fuck. And I always remember thinking, why are kebabs associated with being, like, really shit food? You know, I was like, there has to be like a clean version of this shit. You know, that's, it might be high calorie or something, like if you had a fucking giant one. But I'm like, why does it have to be absolute end of the night slop? And then I went in there and I was like, this is the shit. This is the way I would make kebabs if I was making kebabs. They make the fucking bread all fresh. Like, the bread's probably the worst bit of it. You know, you got the fucking steak meat shit, the chicken, and it was all, like, cabbage and onions and lettuce and everything. I'm like, this isn't any different to, like, maybe, like, a boudjum or something, you know, like, something that's, like, a burrito type thing, and they just rolled it up in this bread, and it was all nice meat, nice veg. Sure, they covered mine in sauce, but if you were smart about it, and you're like, I don't want as much sauce, you know, just give me a wee bit of fucking chili squirted up the middle or something. I was like, that's a clean enough meal. You know, it's clean. Just don't eat fucking a kilo of it or whatever. But we got one of those and I was like, can I get a mixed kebab? You know, and she's like, do you want the regular or the king kebab? And I went, yeah, I had a pretty sweet gig there. So I think I'll spread my cheeks there and give me the fucking king one. And it was essentially the base of a Domino's with enough fucking kebab, like chicken tikka and shit in the middle, and steak kebab type shit to fit. You literally, in fact, what I did was I took a couple of bites of it, realized this is not doable in a car because it was a fucking, like, I fucked up my t-shirt and my jeans immediately with the sauce from the kebab and like ejaculate in them. But I fucking straight away was like, nah, this isn't gonna happen. So I packed it up and was like, I'll take this home. And then we also called in that night to fucking Maureen's dad as well. And I was able to cut this fucking thing in half. And then the two of us still were holding it like you had like a giant burger. That's how big this thing was. Fucking incredible though. God damn it. Anyway, let's watch some fucking, by the way, speaking of goddamn suicides, I read something about a kid who was 13 or something. And like, I don't know how he managed to commit suicide, but he did. And you're just like, because he was being bullied at school. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like, and I've heard people talk about it before where it's like, the worst thing that happens nowadays is people, like, if you're getting bullied at school, you used to just go home and then you're like, oh, I don't have to deal with this till fucking 9 o'clock tomorrow. Now it doesn't stop. Like, you go home and people can still do it online and shit. Which is gross. And it's hard to fuck, I don't know, it's like, I don't know whether, how do you deal with bullying? Who knows? Do you have to tell people about bullying? Like, if you're in school and someone is bullying you, and I don't know how, it scares me, the idea of having kids and trying to reassure them that everything will literally be okay. You know? And that's why you have to lay down some rules. I'd be like, listen, if anyone's mean to you, just fucking smack them straight back. They might hit you, you might hurt, you might be hurt for a second. But it's ultimately, if we have to, we'll fucking kill him and put him in a skip. I don't know how you fucking reassure kids, or how you teach them not to be cunts. You know, I'd love to. I'd like to think if I had children, I'd be like trying to really push on them. Like, do you know how easy your life is going to be if you're nice and kind? Look after yourself. But once you're sorted out, be very nice and inclusive and kind to other people. And you'll fucking just sail through your life. You know what I mean? People will do shit for you because you're fucking, you're like selfless. You know what I mean? You know, if you see a kid that's a bit different, why don't you fucking, you know, friends, go speak to him? Include them in the fucking group instead of he's all ganging up. Like, look at the fucking state of this cunt. I think it's just trying to expose kids to different shit, maybe. I remember, I've probably said this before in a podcast, seeing there was like Indian kids in our school, younger than me. So obviously when people are younger or older than you in school, you rarely speak to them anyway. But I remember just going like, everyone going, look at their lunch. And they were like making fun of their lunch because they were dipping bread. And like, they obviously had like wee yogurt dips and they had a wee green fucking dip. And they had, you know, some other shit. And we were all like, haha, look at your fucking bullshit lunch. Meanwhile, you're eating like a soggy tuna sandwich. Meanwhile, jump forward a few years and if someone was like, what do you want for lunch? Do you want this fucking Indian like bunch of starters over here? Or do you want your bullshit sandwich? You'd be like, give me the Indian stuff. Now, there was no racial abuse or anything, but it's just like, that's all it takes for someone to be like, different! Different! I don't know. I don't know how you stop bullying, like. But the idea that a child who's 13 would even be aware of the fact that he could fucking, like, take his own life like that is horrendous. Horrendous. And, you know, I'm sure kids who bully aren't having that great a fucking time at home either. And then, you know, you've been responsible essentially for someone's fucking death now. You know, which I'm sure isn't going to sit with you well the rest of your fucking life. But anyway. Grim. There's been a lot of fucking, there's been a lot of rows this week. I seen one where it was like, someone was offended at the fact that, like, Jesus Christ, hold on. Let me read some of this shit. From Kleenex man-sized tissues to the Lynx effect, here's why companies are blowing off their macho branding. Tacking on the word man has now been enough to persuade male shoppers that it's a box of tissues they need in their life. Kleenex man-size. Kleenex follows brands including Yorkie and Lynx in distancing. Oh my god, I'm so tired. Distancing itself from previously macho marketing, ditching the man-sized tissues. Replace it with the label extra large, following complaints of sexism, finally levels the notoriously uneven playing field in the world of disposable handkerchief alternatives. The tissue purveyor, imagine being called that, you're a tissue purveyor, has been far from alone in making it explicitly clear for the consumers of the male persuasion that it is safe to pop its wares into their shopping basket without fear of being girly or gay. For any other term that could be used to imply that they're anything less than the epitome of masculinity. Not for girls, that's right, Yorkie used to say not for girls. It's a beer manufacturer, BrewDog, made a clunky attempt to muscle in the gender pay gap dispute by launching as an alternative to its signature IPA. It dubbed beer for girls. I don't know. What if some dude just came out, worked for Kleenex and went, they're called man size because they're good at wiping up cum. Thanks for coming to the meeting today. Anyway, I'll see you later. Man size means you can wrap it all the way around your dick before you blow a load in it in public. Okay, so there you go. What? Just been yours, but got no answer. Looked through windows. That's weird as fuck. Super weird. That's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. This got a message saying, just been yours, but got no answer. Look through a window, seen you was busy. Give a call later. Huh? Who the fuck is that? It's creepy as shit, bro. Anyway, we'll finish on this, guys, and then we'll get the fuck out of here. What about this fucking racist dude? It's hilarious.
Don't talk to me in a f***ing foreign language, you stupid ugly cow.
Hey, will you stop?
I will carry on. I can with this ugly, blasted bastard.
Hey. Keep your voice down.
Just a crazy old cunt on a Ryanair flight. Daughter of the woman in the video told Huffington Post that the dispute began when her mother, who has arthritis, didn't stand up immediately from her aisle seat to allow the unidentified man to get in his window seat. What a lunatic.
Don't talk to me in a f***ing foreign language. Don't talk to me in a f***ing foreign language, you stupid ugly cow.
Hey, will you stop?
I will carry on. I'm not with this ugly, blasted bastard. That's hilarious. Sometimes I think, is it people with like fucking dementia or some bullshit?
Don't you dare shout at her! Don't you dare shout at her!
Don't tell me what to do. If I tell her to get out, she gets out.
I love the infinite arguments people have when they think they have the right to be a cunt. Don't you dare speak to her like that. Don't you tell me what to do. And then it's just like, don't you do this. I don't have to listen to you. Don't you speak to me like that. Don't you tell me how to speak. Don't you tell me what to do. You just have that old face, you know, that old cunt face where it's like, the only way... I can't possibly say anything nice because my face looks like a pug's anus. I mean,
situation. I couldn't believe that I was on an aircraft in the year 2018 with this type of attitude and this type of behaviour.
I'll tell you this. If you don't go to another seat, I'll push you to another seat.
If you don't go to another seat, I'll push you to another seat. He just looks like we are aware of this video and reported it to the Essex Police. What a fucking disaster that old man is. It's so funny the amount of people like, you know, what the fuck are you... What the fuck are you like... How did you get into that state where you're just such a horrible cunt? You ugly black bastard. Ugh. What a horrendous cunt he is. Boycott Ryanair if they think it's okay for a racist man to abuse an elderly black woman and remain on the plane. It's 63 years since Rosa Parks said no to sitting in the back of the bus and we ain't going back. The failure to remove the man. Yeah, like what? Yeah. I really feel like, yeah, they definitely had to just get him off the plane, like, get away from my seat. Yeah, I feel like they should have got him off, like, because if you said something like that to a fucking, you know, a flight attendant person and they hadn't got off yet, you would get in major shit for it. Yeah, that's so fucking weird. Like, god damn it. What a racist style cunt. What a strange way to end this podcast, anyway. I mean, I'm mainly getting out of here because I just got that weird message from that dude there. You know, just been at yours, got no answer, looked through the window, seen you were busy, give a call later. Now, what the fuck does that mean? That has freaked me out. I'm going to have to get some sort of weapon here and just walk around the perimeter of the property here, just stabbing in the dark. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to wrap this up here. I'm going to get it online and then I'm going to fucking record another one tomorrow, possibly, if I can do so, or else I might try and get a guest by the end of the week. If you want to send any clips or anything to me, do it on Twitter or Snapchat or DM me on Instagram. That's a good way to get that's the way to get in touch. So that's it. That's all I can say for this week. I'll put some details online about the show with Aaron in LA. If you're in the LA area, you know, if you're in fucking San Francisco, if you fancy a day trip, come down and see me and the boy McCann doing our gig on the 15th of November in LA. And we'll get a sweet poster made. That's going to be epic to the tits. We'll get the fuck out of here. Get your tickets at congettis.com for the Limelight gig on Friday. Also the Manchester gig. The Dublin and Liverpool gig will be up there shortly. And once I know about it, you'll know about it, because it'll be all over the motherfucking place. If you want to donate to the podcast, patreon.com/genderbanderpodcast. So that's it. I'll see you next week. I'm not going to play a song at the end of this, because it'll just get fucking red on YouTube, won't it? Fucking see you later. Cheers, guys.